News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, 8:07 Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Got a family four-pack of tickets very soon from J&D Farms and their Outdoor Expo for you to win. Mm-hmm. Had a story at the end of last hour, a little kicker story about younger senior citizens, which I think I would qualify as one right now.
Would you? I'm not sure what the age ranges are on that.
Well, like 65 or 62, aren't you?
I always thought senior citizens, that was kind of something you know when you see it. That's kind of my, I've always been like, oh, that's a, there's a senior citizen over there.
So you're saying I don't look like one. Are you paying me a great compliment?
I mean, you look, I thought you were 40. This whole time I thought you were 40.
Yeah.
I go, there's a senior citizen, and then I cross to be on the other side of the road. That's normally how it works for me. They're dangerous.
All right, so anyway, they're offended by the name, the moniker senior citizen or something like
that. Yeah, so some of them, not all of them, like Michael hopped on the text line. He said, I've more than earned being called a senior. And I think a lot of people feel that way. But yeah, there's some sensitive senior citizens who say they want to be called Generation Jones. I'm not really sure where that comes from, Generation Jones.
Jay says he knows. Jay, good morning.
Good morning. Generation Jones comes from the 1970s. In the 1970s on TV, every group of people had someone they could look up to on TV that was a detective. Oh. Fat people had Cannon. Bald people had Kojak. If you think about it, you'll find one for every group. And old people had Barnaby Jones, who was played by Buddy Ebsen after the Beverly Hillbillies ran out.
Yeah.
Old people needed someone to look up to. So they had Barnaby Jones as a detective for old people.
Mm.
Later on, during the 1980s, Angela Lansbury took his place on Murder, She Wrote. But Barnaby Jones hit at a nerve with these people, and that's why it's Generation Jones.
Wow.
Jay, you know who I looked up to in the 70s?
Who?
Angie Dickinson. What? She was the hot. She was a smoking hot cop.
That's a good example.
She'd be on the Johnny Carson. Yeah, but I wasn't looking up to Barnaby Jones. The hell with him.
I know, but every group had one. And hot, smart women had Angie Dickinson their role model.
This is a great guy.
Jay, thanks for breaking it down for us.
Wonderfully done, Jay. Thank you very much.
It all makes sense now.
It's not like he had it like a Wikipedia page pulled up or something like that.
That was straight out of his brain, I think.
How about the idea that Hollywood producers would drill down so far as to make sure that, like, you had these different types of detectives, like Kojak with his with the bald guy with his lollipop. That was his thing. Then you had Columbo, who was kind of disoriented and seemed to be confused all the time, but actually he would outfox the people big time in the end. Do you ever see him?
No, I know the names, but this conversation.
Columbo was a really good show because he would understand and put the heat on the person that committed the crime. First scene, like
he'd get right after.
Yeah, but he would do it in this unassuming way, like, I don't know, something about this is gnawing at me. Okay, I'll see you in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then they think, well, who's this nitwit? And then by the end of the show,
he's figured it all out.
He had him down.
Wow. So that's why they want to be called Generation Jones. If anyone else has any comparisons for 70s TV detectives and who they represent, would love to hear from you. 251-343-0106. I'm going to be, what was that name again?
Angie,
what was the last name?
Angie.
What's her last name, though?
Dickinson.
Angie Dickinson. All right, I'm going to have to Google it.
You have to.
I have to. 810 Mobile Mornings.
Google Angie Dickinson and give me any good reason in the world someone would prefer Barnaby Jones.
Okay. That's my homework assignment for the break. 251-343-0106. And this hour, we're turning up your voice, 251-343-0106. We're going to talk some about the Mobile mayoral race, and it's getting a little spicy there with some mailers being sent out, some videos from past campaign trails going viral with something that a candidate said back then. But why don't we start with the biggest national news story? And, of course, we're talking here about the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And yesterday, the suspect, 22-year-old Tyler Robinson, officially charged by the state of Utah with 7 counts, including aggravated murder. And Utah County Attorney Jeff Gray announced that they do plan to seek the death penalty, which in Utah would be carried out by firing squad. They say Robinson's parents helped facilitate his surrender after recognizing him in FBI released images. Here is some from Gray talking about Robinson's radicalization.
Robinson's mother explained that over the last year or so, Robinson had become more political and had started to lean more to the left, becoming more pro-gay and trans rights oriented.
So that's what Gray said the family told him about Robinson. You also have the FBI looking into this. Prosecutors say Robinson concealed the rifle, discarded his clothing, and instructed his transgender boyfriend and roommate to delete incriminating texts. And that's one of the pieces of evidence released yesterday that the internet is pouring over right now, this text, this back and forth texting between the shooter and his trans boyfriend. I'm trying to find, okay, let me just read some of this to you because there's a lot of theories.
Yeah,
of course, that's all the internet's full of.
Right. I think you have some of that audio. I do too, if you need it.
Yeah. So he, in what they released, they had the suspect Robinson texting to, and I'm trying to, I have the name of the girlfriend, the boyfriend, transgender roommate here. And I've lost it. So we'll just say the roommate. You have Robinson who said, "Drop what you are doing. Look under my keyboard." And the roommate sends ... "What? You're joking, right?" I guess after reading this message that the FBI says he left, admitting guilt to the shooting. So then Robinson responds on the text, "I am still okay, my love, but I am stuck in Orem for a little while longer yet. Shouldn't be long until I can come home, but I got to grab my rifle still. To be honest, I had hoped to keep this secret till I died of old age. I'm sorry to involve you." And then the roommate says, "You weren't the one who did it, right?" And Robinson responds, "I am. I'm sorry." And then the roommate, "I thought they caught the person." They continue, this is Robinson, "No, they grabbed some crazy old dude, then interrogated someone in similar clothing." Side note, that crazy old dude is this, what is it, Zen. And first name, was it not Howard, is it? It's George Zen. And he was, I mean, that story's insane on its own.
Yeah.
People were wondering if he was an accomplice. I don't know if he was a planned accomplice, but he admitted he was saying it was him.
To
right
distract
after the shot
him
was
from
fired.
The real shooter.
Yeah, so that the real shooter could get away.
Yeah.
And now they found child pornography all over this Zen's phones or computers or something like that. So back to the text thread. Robinson says, "No, they grabbed some crazy old dude." That would be Zen. "Then interrogated someone in similar clothing." That person ended up actually being a Kirk supporter, the second suspect that they had arrested that day. And he says his life has really taken a turn with so many threats coming out there. And he's like, "I was just there to actually support Kirk."
Yeah.
Anyway, Robinson says, "I had planned to grab my rifle for my drop point shortly after, but most of that side of town got locked down. It's quiet, almost enough to get out, but there's one vehicle lingering." Roommate says, "Why?" Robinson says, "Why did I do it?" Roommate says, "Yeah." Robinson says, "I had enough of his hatred. Some hate can't be negotiated out. If I am able to grab my rifle unseen, I will have left no evidence. Going to attempt to retrieve it again. Hopefully they have moved on. I haven't seen anything about them finding it." And continue with the roommate saying, "How long have you been planning this?" Robinson says, "A bit over a week, I believe. I can get close to it, but there's a squad car parked right by it. I think they already swept that spot, but I don't want to chance it. I'm wishing I had circled back and grabbed it as soon as I got to my vehicle. I'm worried what my old man would do if I didn't bring back Grandpa's rifle. I don't even know if it had a serial number, but it wouldn't trace to me. I worry about prints. I had to leave it in a bush where I changed outfits." Again, side note, FBI yesterday saying they have prints from the weapon.
Yeah.
The text continues, "Didn't have the ability or time to bring it with. I might have to abandon it and hope they don't find prints. How the blank will I explain losing it to my old man? Only thing I left was the rifle wrapped in a towel." Then he continues, "Remember how I was engraving bullets? The blanking messages are mostly a big meme. If I see, quote, notices bulge, UWU, on Fox News, I might have a stroke. All right, I'm going to have to leave it. That really blanking sucks." He continues, "Judging from today, I'd say Grandpa's gun does just fine. IDK, I don't know. I think that was a $2,000 scope. Delete this exchange." Continues, "My dad wants photos of the rifle. He says Grandpa wants to know who has it. The feds released a photo of the rifle, and it is very unique. He's calling me right now, not answering. Since Trump got into office, my dad has been pretty diehard MAGA. I'm going to turn myself in willingly. One of my neighbors here is a deputy for the sheriff."
Wow.
He also continues here, You are all I worry about, love. I'm much more worried about you. Don't talk to the media, please. Don't take any interviews or make any comments. If any police ask you questions, ask for a lawyer and stay silent. Now, the internet theories have kind of gone a couple different ways. And my personal thing is, this shooter clearly screwed up in the head. In some form or fashion. And I'm not saying that that's any kind of excuse, obviously. I just say there's clearly something wrong with this person that they would commit that kind of act and be involved in the things that he was apparently involved in here.
Yeah, I mean, so to normalize any of it is giving away a lot of fair ground to question him about.
Right, so it shouldn't be normalized. But there are people saying, well, that just doesn't sound like the way any normal person would text.
I saw some of that.
But my point is, he's not a normal person. He probably speaks differently. I don't know. It is believable that this was a real text exchange. But what other people are pointing out, and this is what first came to mind for me, is that does sound almost like a staged conversation. And who knows if it was or not, but maybe something they had planned to take any potential signs that the roommate was involved out of it, make the roommate look like completely out of...
Had no idea
this was going on. I could see that they had planned this, but the FBI says this was their exchange and it proves guilt without a doubt. Now, the media and people on the left are taking this an entirely different way.
It's like Barbara Streisand and Love Story. I mean, they're making this out to be a brokenhearted child. I think some people have gone as far as saying, or kid, or something like that. You know, so don't make him an adult. That exonerates him in a way. Talk about it's all about his broken heart, not about any ideology that he may have.
Yeah, they're trying to act like it was instead a crime of romantic passion,
right,
rather than a crime based on political views.
Right.
And here's, for instance, the one that people are right now most upset or just bewildered at seeing was a reporter from ABC, Matt Gutman. And here was his report yesterday after this text exchange was revealed.
We have seen an alleged murder with such specific text messages about the alleged murder weapon, where it was hidden, how it was placed, what was on it. But also, it was very touching in a way that I think many of us didn't expect. A very intimate portrait into this relationship between the suspect's roommate and the suspect himself, with him repeatedly calling his roommate, who is transitioning, calling him my love, and I want to protect you, my love. So it was this duality of someone who the attorney said not only jeopardized the life of Charlie Kirk and the crowd, but was doing it in front of children, which is one of the aggravating circumstances of this case. And on the other hand, he was, you know, speaking so lovingly about his partner. So a very interesting and, as Pierre said, riveting press conference day.
Just a weird take to get from it. But then Montel Williams, former Kamala Harris side piece, or I guess it'd be vice versa, he was on the CNN Thunderdome last night. And, of course, Scott Jennings, a regular on there. And Scott Jennings has to just be living in hell right now.
Well, or in heaven, because he's able to express himself, which he will do at the end of the clip you're about to play. But where's Montel Williams been that he gets to play a role in any of this? I mean, give me a break.
Yeah, I don't remember the last time I saw Montel. But he was on last night saying this is just a love-torn shooter right here, a crime of passion, and Scott Jennings wasn't having any of it.
Talking about a love-torn child, a kid.
Child.
This is probably his first kid. Real relationship, and somebody was disparaging the person that he loved. He sat on that building for 30 minutes before he took the shot. Why did he wait until the first word trans came up? Then he took the shot.
You think he heard it? I think he could hear it.
I think he also... I don't believe he was motivated politically. I think this was motivated emotionally.
Guys, the evidence here is overwhelming. He said, Charlie Kirk, I can't stand this hate anymore. I'm going to take him out. The testimony from him and the statements of his family, he had become more left-wing. He etched the statements that are made by the left about Republicans and conservatives and Charlie Kirk fascists on the bullet casings.
He made a joke about it in his last text.
Well, it doesn't sound like a joke to me because someone's dead and about to be buried. Well, so it doesn't sound like a joke to me. So I'm just telling you, there was an effort all weekend long on the left to try to make this guy sound like he was a conservative. That failed. That was passed around all over the weekend. That has now failed. The evidence has now come out. He was motivated by hate. He was motivated by left-wing radicalism. He got mixed up with some trans ideology in his life. We'll learn more about that, I'm sure, when more evidence and testimony comes out. We are looking around the edges of this for something other than what's staring us in the face. Left-wing radicalism got this kid. He went up to a roof, and he murdered our friend, and that's what happened.
So there you go. That was from CNN last night. Would love your thoughts. 251-343-0106. And, you know, I haven't heard as much talk either about the furry community. Remember early on during this, they were saying this suspect, Tyler Robinson, was just infatuated with these people they call furries. And if you're unaware what a furry is, it's just people that wear these costumes, what you would normally see on October 31st, right? And dressing up and acting like animals, and they get a certain kind of gratification from that.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to just be a punchline, right? Like, can you believe how crazy kids are these days?
Yeah.
And I've heard people saying at schools, you'll see, you know, different children, you know, wearing ears or something like that, which mine have done that. They're 4 and 5, mm-hmm. and they're jokingly, or not to them, I guess, but yeah, once you reach a certain age,
yeah,
you're like, you know, if you're wearing ears around the high school and you're 17, 18 years old and acting like a cat, like has been reported, something a little off there. Anyway, I didn't realize in Utah, and it might not just be Utah, but this quote-unquote furry community, they mm-hmm. have fairly large chapters of this, of these furry communities. And I'm trying to figure out why it seems to be so much more prevalent in Utah. And I think a big part of that, and it's not just with the furry thing, but really going completely off the reservation as far as what's considered general, you know, normal sexuality, normal behavior. And I think so much of it is because you have the Mormon community there, and they are so, you know, religious and strict in their religious teachings.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've all seen it. They've made reality shows about so many of these people that leave that community and then just go as far the other way as they can.
Yeah.
That's just my working theory on why there seems to be so much more of this kind of political ideology in states like Utah.
And I guess also it's fostered by the fact that there are schools, and maybe even some around here, that foster this activity or aid in allowing students to act in this way. Is that right?
Around here or what?
I'm not sure about around
here. I mean,
I thought we got a text one time about around here.
Yeah.
So anyway.
But I don't think there's like the same sort of kind of communities like this that you have in states like Utah. And I think this investigation where it's going with this Discord server and his communications in the past, they're going to be looking into a lot of those kinds of groups.
Text line 251-343-0106. What am I missing here? Let me know. Let's do it. Let's give you a chance to win. 828 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings with Dan and Dalton.
Yeah, family four-pack for a three-day pass to the G&D Farms Outdoor Expo. Begins Friday, runs through Sunday. And right now, caller number 4 with your chance to win the family four-pack, 251-343-0106. It is going to be, first off, a beautiful weekend. Secondly, just a great time at the G&D Farms Outdoor Expo at the grounds in Mobile. Again, it begins on Friday. Sean Sullivan and Midday Mobile will be broadcasting live at noon from the grounds for the expo. And then again on Saturday, a special edition of the Outdoor Show that begins at 11 from the grounds in Mobile at the G&D Farms Outdoor Expo. They're going to have some great vendors there. Might find some stuff you like enough to buy and take home with you, plus a lot of learning, too, with some experts in the outdoor world. And, of course, just get up there and have some conversations with people that are like-minded, and yep, they've got some food and great stuff. So the G&D Farms Outdoor Expo begins Friday and runs through Sunday.
Michael, by the way, says, talking about the furry thing in schools, he says it's totally around our area. The type of sexual perversion is fostered throughout the nation in government schools. It's part of the ideology that the teachers' unions push.
Yeah. I mean, it might be in our area, and I'm sure everyone has their stories. It's not like in Utah. I mean, you look at some of these chapters. It's a wild thing, but I guess be aware. Keith says, great segment, guys. Texter here, Montel Williams, is a washed-up hack that nobody cares about anymore. Roger says Gutfeld had a similar response to the left on his last show. Thank you, Cheesewagon. Quick traffic update. Crash westbound I-10 between Malbus and Daphne. The left lane is blocked. Westbound I-10 between Malbus and Daphne. Coming back, we'll get to more of your texts and calls. Plus, we'll talk some local politics.
Yes.
It's getting spicy in the Mobile mayoral race. More on that on the way.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington.
Hey, thanks, Kane. 835 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings on a Wednesday. We'll be getting back to the text here in a minute. 251-343-0106. Right now, it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing just fine here at Airport and 65, a little further north on 65 off Dolphin Street. That's where McConnell Automotive is, and you guys got a big day ahead of you, I'm sure.
That's right. We always plan to have a big day. Unfortunately, sometimes it don't work, but fortunately it does sometimes. So, yeah, we got a great selection of pre-owned and new. You can check everything out on our website, McConnellAutomotive.com. Don't forget we got $12,000 off pickups or 0%, I mean, whatever one you want to do. And new car side, used car side, we got those certifieds out front, the GM certifieds, give you an extra 12-12 on the factory warranty, bumps that powertrain up to 100,000 miles. Just traded in a AT4 XL gray in color, 30,000 miles. That's going to be certified. So anybody looking for a four-wheel drive Yukon XL, we got one here. So come see us.
Man, that sounds like a find right there. We appreciate your time this morning, Louie. Have a great day.
Hey, come see us. Thank you.
All right, Louis Arata. Go see him. McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
On the text line, circling back to TV detectors in the 80s. We're hitting it all here this morning, by the way. Buddy says, I liked Beretta. Beretta was the detective, or the, I guess he was a cop, and he had a bird on his shoulder. That was his... That
his
was
sidekick, a
yeah,
bird?
Yeah, was a bird on his shoulder. And he was an actor who later was involved in he had some controversy in his life. Maybe some really dark stuff.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Was the bird involved?
The bird was not involved in the crime.
Okay.
Angie Dickinson was smoking hot in the 60s, too. I don't know, in her 60s or in the 1960s, but anyway.
Could be both these days.
Yeah. We're going to turn our attention back to the local election, the mayor's race.
And I want to get to that, too, but let's get some more of these texts about the Utah shooting of Charlie Kirk. This texter says, let's see, this is K-A-N-A. I concur with your theory, Dalton, having some personal experience with the Mormon community. That was my first thought exactly. Yeah, and I don't want to get misconstrued there. My theory on why Utah may have more of this kind of extreme ideology, and much of it goes to the left, as you saw and we'll see in this story about Tyler Robinson, the 22-year-old who allegedly shot Charlie Kirk. My point is, I have no problem with Mormons. The religious aspect of it at all. But what I do know is that when people leave the Mormon community, usually younger people, when they leave after being involved with it, they tend to go pretty wild. At least that's what I've seen. There have been reality shows made about it, so it's not exactly like it's some weird cooked up theory of mine.
You have a strict sexual lifestyle, and then you give yourself the opportunity to get out of it, and off you go.
Yeah, no drinking, no caffeine, right? That's one of the Mormon rules. So you tend to see that. That's just kind of my theory. When you see a whole ballroom full of a furry convention there, you wonder, why is that happening in some states and not as much in other states? Just as we kind of bat around this story a little bit. Some more of the texts here. Squirrel Vereen talking about Zen, the man that was first arrested there on the scene of the shooting. You said he was trying to create a distraction to let Robinson get away. Squirrel Vereen says, the crazy old dude is the kind of wacky, immature senior citizen who doesn't want to be called a senior. Bringing it back to the story we were just talking about there. Another texter said, how did the shooter know they grabbed some crazy old dude? I don't know if he saw it. I doubt he saw it from his perch up there, right? Because he was making a move away as soon as he fired the shot. Maybe he saw it on TV or something later. I don't know, while he was on the run. But that is a good question involving that text thread.
People questioning how authentic the text was. Was it pre-planned? Was it in the moment? And I've just seen some discussion about that.
And all the rest of the texts are about Angie Dickinson this morning. So what a conversation.
She was popular.
So now we're less than a week out. I mean, this time next week, we will be talking about a new mayor-elect with the runoff election set for Tuesday. And, I mean, we've been discussing it this week, but even back before the August elections, we were saying, really back in June and July, we were like, is there even an election going on? It doesn't, other than the candidates going out and doing interviews and knocking
on
doors.
Very low key.
Yeah, there wasn't mudslinging. Really did remain outside of local issues, like Big Creek Lake being brought up, Mobile policing ideas. It stayed local and nonpartisan as much as it could be. But now we're starting to see it.
It also stayed pretty much race-free.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a discussion of race.
For a time, yeah.
There was the discussion of those dropping out of the race, mm-hmm. and allowing Drummond to potentially receive more votes.
Well, when you had Batiste and Burrell drop out and then at the same time endorse Drummond,
yeah, that was a bit
brought
of a,
race
sure.
into
yeah.
the mix there. Because
but then there's been an impasse for a while now.
Right.
And now suddenly, I guess this is a video that has been circulating on social media. Is that where?
So there's a couple different things involved here. And one is this line from a video that's gone kind of somewhat viral, I guess, locally from back in 2023 when Drummond was campaigning for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And she was speaking at an event in Alabama. I don't know where this was. And so this little clip has been making its way around, and 1819 News grabbed it and wrote a story about it.
I cannot overstate the danger that Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans' agenda poses for our nation's future.
And it's funny, you know, yesterday morning I brought up, it's amazing, I said that I think Spiro Charagatis needs to maybe lean in a little bit more on the fact that his opponent is a liberal Democrat. I mean, she has the Democrat right next to her name as State Representative Democrat Barbara Drummond, and that really hasn't been utilized by the Spiro campaign at all. And I was wondering, you know, maybe they're worried about losing votes in the middle. Maybe they truly do want to keep it nonpartisan on their side. But now you have this added into the mix, flyers being sent out from the Drummond campaign. And at least the way that it appears in this 1819 story, and I think John Sharp wrote about it in AL.com as well, I think two different kinds of voters may be getting two different kinds of flyers here.
Yeah.
And in one of the flyers, they paint, you know, Spiro Charagatis as diehard MAGA, you know, and put him on the flyer there right next to Trump and kind of give him that devilish kind of overtones on that flyer. And there's no doubt what it's trying to imply, right? That Spiro Charagatis is diehard MAGA, and if you don't like Donald Trump, you shouldn't vote for Spiro Charagatis. Well, also, I guess some other potential voters receiving flyers that are much more nonpartisan, encouraging the vote for Barbara Drummond. Spiro replied to this and said he wanted to keep it nonpartisan on his side, and I don't think Drummond had responded to 1819 News or to any of these about the flyer yet, but there's no escaping it now. I mean, this is, and I've argued that it should be, a partisan race. I think Stimson, and while people discuss his political leanings or what they think they may be, you know for a fact that other mayors in the state are Republican or Democrat. You know, we know Walt Maddox is a Democrat. You know that Randall Woodfin is a Democrat.
Yeah.
It's odd to me that while running for judge, Spiro Charagatis, that's a partisan race,
yeah.
Right? I would think if anything, you don't want your judges to be quote unquote partisan, even though they will be and have shown that they are. It's just odd to me that for a race for the judgeship, you say whether you're a Democrat or Republican, but for the mayor of the city of Mobile, it's supposed to be nonpartisan. It's clearly Democrat versus Republican, and I'm wondering if the Spiro camp isn't playing this the right way.
Well, if there were if there were advantages to outright claiming, in all caps, I'm a Republican, you would do it. I guess they're playing the odds here. That's not a
political winner in this case.
Not a political winner, but I'm trying to find out by what percentage did Donald Trump win the city of Mobile back in 2024? And I'm not coming across it. Obviously,
let me see if I can find that number. That's a good question.
That's the question, right? I mean, so what percentage did Trump win the city of Mobile? And I think then from that point, then we can talk about the comments that Barbara Drummond made in a very different line of work. She was, you know, she's a Democrat, and she was stumping for Joe Biden. And that's kind of what you would say when you're getting, but that's not maybe what you want to say when you're trying to win the mayor's race here in Mobile.
If the ChatGPT is correct here, it says in November 2024, Trump won Mobile County. I don't have the city numbers here. Mobile County by 16.3 percentage points. They say he had 57.5% of the vote. Kamala Harris garnered 41.14% of the vote. So that's not city of Mobile. That's the county of Mobile, which would give you different voting numbers. But, yeah, but that's the closest answer I can get for you.
And the city's going to be less. The city would be less than that.
It would be a tighter race for sure.
So there's the question. What being a Trump supporter or being someone who is tied to Trump, for those who are not fans of the MAGA movement, which way is that going to affect? How's that going to affect the election? So Barbara Drummond has not made many claims about any of this leading up to the election. It's just that this video has resurfaced.
Well, and the flyers. Yeah,
the flyers
are being sent out.
Yeah, you're right. The flyers, But the flyers were sent to certain addresses and not other addresses.
That's the way I'm reading it, yeah.
And that's marketing.
Well, you also have this Alabama Works PAC, which has endorsed Drummond, and they're kind of doing the speaking for her, the speaking out against Spiro Chiragattis, and they even reference, let's see here, this is from John Sharp's story. So he says, Drummond's campaign declined to comment. Alabama Works PAC provided nearly $19,000 of in-kind advertising for the Drummond campaign this month. The organization in a statement said it believes that Chiragattis has a lifetime record of supporting and giving to political candidates, but not to Democrats. The PAC's statement also criticizes Chiragattis for not supporting what it says are moderate Republicans, notably now retired U.S. Senator Richard Shelby. So they bring up that back when Jonathan McConnell from here in Mobile was running against Richard Shelby, that Chiragattis in 2016 donated $500 to McConnell's campaign. And they're saying, look, he's so radical. He's donating against Richard Shelby. Can you believe this guy? And Chiragattis' campaign rebutted that. They said McConnell is a very close personal friend and law school classmate. Said McConnell stood with Chiragattis at his wedding and that the support was a gesture of friendship, not as a direct opposition to Shelby or anyone else. And they also went after Chiragattis, this Alabama Works PAC did, for backing Caroline Dobson during the congressional race last year. The Chiragattis campaign then blamed the Alabama Works PAC for, quote, running negative ads against congressman figures during last year's Democratic primary for the second congressional district seat. A representative with the Progress of Alabama PAC said Tuesday that they, and not the Alabama Works PAC, spent money to campaign against figures during last year's election. So a week to go, you've got the Drummond campaign and people working on behalf of the Drummond campaign, making it as political as possible in this nonpartisan race.
Yeah, well now, yeah, I agree. But a lot of people voted or supported McConnell back in that I knew in Mobile. Back in the day, he's a local guy, and he's done some interesting things in his day. He's been on Sean's show a time or two, or five or ten. So I don't think that this Works PAC. They're obviously it's a part of a politically driven machine, but you shouldn't look at Spiro Chiragattis like he's the devil because he supported McConnell in any way.
And besides, it wasn't just MAGA people that would have had reason to not want Richard Shelby to win that race. Fiscal conservatives, more than anybody, said, look, this is Mr. Pork here. Yeah. He brings a lot of pork back to the state. But if you're looking for a tighter budget and making some cuts, Shelby probably wouldn't be the guy you'd want up there.
The guy that knows a little bit about 1819 News is Jeff Ford. We will talk to him here in just a moment.
Yeah, we'll see what he has coming up on his show. See, Jason says, plain and simple, if Spiro doesn't respond strongly to this, he looks weak. Art texting in says, I never thought of Barbara Drummond as a left-wing radical. She needs to be careful about her endorsements. Cory Booker is like a boil on the butt to the United States. Yeah, he endorsed Drummond. He had a really wild back and forth with Cash Patel yesterday.
I saw that.
854 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. We'll check in with Jeff Poor here in just a minute. This segment brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Football's back, and Underdog is the best place to select entries and win money all season long. You can play in Alabama. That's what I've been doing for well over a year with Underdog Fantasy through all the sports seasons. I pop that app open, but I really enjoy it during the football season. Playing on Underdog is easy. Just choose whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats like touchdowns, receiving yards, interceptions, and more. If you get those entries right, you could win up to 5,000 times your cash, and you can play with as little as $1. Now, normally I keep it fairly simple on my entries, just two players in each entry. Maybe I pick it up to three if I see something I really like, but the more players you add, the more money you could possibly win. It's really easy. It's really fun. Download the app today. Sign up with promo code Dalton. That's D-A-L-T-O-N. You'll score $50 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. It's promo code Dalton. Millions of fans have already won billions making plays on Underdog. Will you be next? Underdog. Make plays. Win money. Must be 19 plus and present in Alabama. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms _DFS_.html for details. If you're concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
His guests include a Secretary of State wannabe, Caroline Dobson.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Jeff Poor on the Jeff Poor Show on the way. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, Jeff. So we were just, we spent the first half of the hour talking about the latest from Utah on the suspect in the Kirk assassination and where that investigation may lead. But here, more recently, talking about the Mobile mayoral race and the Mobile nonpartisan mayoral race. And yesterday I was wondering why Spiro wasn't leaning a little bit more into the fact that his opponent is a liberal and he's apparently a conservative. I didn't realize these flyers were going out and this video was going viral from a couple years ago with Drummond speaking at a Biden campaign rally kind of thing. What are your thoughts on this turning certainly partisan a week out?
I think she's desperate. I think she's in trouble, guys. I know everybody's telling me, no. She had a weak number in the general election, and now they send in the troops from outside the area. They send in guys from Birmingham and around the country for this race, and they have made it their own race, which this new Drummond campaign that's emerged after this general election has gone hyper-partisan. Because they're having a hard time getting people to buy in, to care enough. You know, if you run an election on paving streets, if you run an election on sewer, water, traffic, whatever the woes of a municipality are, it's boring. There's no engagement. And I think this is what she's trying to do to throw a Hail Mary.
Spiro's staying kind of clear of it all. What do you make of his passive response?
Probably the smart play. I mean, it is a purple city, and we know how it voted based on voting records. But I don't see how going hard left. She's gone left by going against MAGA Republicans because you shut out part of the electorate there, and then she's gone very hard with these endorsements. How that's a game of addition. That's a game of subtraction, if you ask me.
Interesting. 6 days out. This time next week, we'll know who the mayor-elect is. So you'll have Caroline Dobson on in hour number one. I think that Secretary of State race could be a pretty eventful one as we head towards May.
Yeah, and there was a poll out earlier this week showing Cyril up by 4, but a lot of undecideds, more than half the electorate. So right now, it's neck and neck, but we'll see where that heads later in next year.
Andrew Sorrell, the new daddy of baby justice.
Baby number 3.
That's Liberty, glory, and justice, ladies and gentlemen.
Story's broken on the Jeff Poor Show. That's why you want to listen. Thanks, Jeff. We'll get you ready to go, man.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, Jeff will also talk with Joey Clark from News Talk 93.1 in Hour 2 and Greg Pavis with Al Cap in Hour number 3.
Can't believe it's a Thursday morning edition of the show tomorrow because I want the weekend to be here. But anyway, we'll talk to you then.